Win £100,000 with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win. The jackpot must be won this week. Play for free every Saturday. Pick 5 with Paddy Power.
Thank you for joining us on a very special episode of From the Horse's Mouth as we look ahead to one of the best Sundays racing anywhere on the planet, certainly for flat fans. It is the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe card at Longchamp. But before we get stuck in to the Prix de l'Arc and the supporting card, and what a supporting card it is, full of British and Irish raiders, I'd say they could be taking a fair few quid back home if this season is to be, nearly every Group 1 has gone to either UK or Ireland from France. Ruby, there is an excellent card. It's always on this day, isn't it? This Tipperary mixed card. One of the few remaining mixed cards there are. There's group races on the flat, but there's graded races over jumps as well. And I want to get your thoughts on a few of the graded races, starting with the 3 o'clock. That is the Novice Hurdle Grade 3 over 2 miles. Nice fields, 10 runners. Willie Saddles, Hugh Briscoe with Sean O'Keefe and Champ Kylie with Danny Mullins on board. So Paul Townend not riding, is that?
No, Paul is out at the minute. Got a fall in the Kerry National. He hasn't ridden since.
Okay.
From El Barra. But decent race. Obviously, Brazil is the eye catcher in there, PK, with a rating of 142. Last year's Fred Winter winner. Hell of a lot of experience as well. You know, he didn't win his maiden, or not his first win, only won a maiden, actually. His first win over hurdles didn't come until after the 1st of February, so he is, of course, a novice until the Hatton's Grace meeting in Fairy House. The fact he didn't win a Grade 1 means he is. And he sets a pretty high standard. I thought Champ Kylie was really good at the Galway Festival. That was over 2.5 miles. Does drop down in trip, but he couldn't have been any more impressive than he was at Galway. Hugh Briscoe has won at Galway since, but I'd have a slight preference for Champ Kylie. I think ultimately Champ Kylie will end up a better horse than Brazil. Does he have the experience to beat him this Sunday, Tipperary? Only time is going to tell. I won't go against Champ Kylie, but I wouldn't be surprised that Brazil just has too much experience for him.
Brazil could have his form franked by this time on Sunday, because High Definition runs on the Saturday and Brazil was 8th in his Beresford. If you go back to two-year-old days, it's quite a bit back. Quite a bit back,
but anyway. Quite a bit back, but it has to be somewhere.
It does. So Champ Kylie tentatively maybe stick in Brazil for forecast there, or do the reverse forecast. It's a really good looking race at 3 o'clock. The next Grade 3 is the Horse and Jockey Hotel conditions hurdle at Grade 3. I say open Grade 3. You've got Abracadabra here topping the weights. Actually, he's 12 stone compared to the 11 stone 3 and less. Jason and Milton for Henry de Bromwich and Rachel Blackmore. No Willie Mullins representative, Ruby, but you were keen on one.
Yeah, I just thought of the weights. Jason the Militant was getting far too much weight from Abracadabra. When you look at the ratings that both horses have, there's not much between them yet. Abracadabra has to give Jason the Militant a full 9 pounds. More.
9.
I thought Jason the Militant ran okay in the Irish Shape Leisure, so he has a run under his belt that Abracadabra doesn't have. So I thought it was Jason the Militant's golden opportunity to win a decent hurdle race.
Yeah, it's interesting to see Abracadabra out here. It sometimes makes his reappearance at Down Royal, doesn't he? Another graded race on the
card. He would have PK as a novice because it was a second season novice hurdle in Down Royal, but that's he doesn't qualify for that race anymore.
The WKD one, or yeah. Okay, moving on to the 4:45, which is a novice chase, the O'Dwyer Steeled and Drum novice chase. It's a Grade 3 as well. Only the 5 declared for it. Willie's got Authorized Art with Danny on board on a hat trick, but also has Rambantle Jack with Brian Hayes will ride. Tree Meadow looks a very interesting runner for Gordon Elliott and Davey Russell, who've had a wonderful September, particularly Stowell, that did very well. Thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I think it's a competitive race. Rambling Jack's been a bit disappointing since winning at Galway. Authorized Art even has been on an absolute roll. Tree Meadow, a great fourth in the Galway plate, but run at Wexford behind Ganapathy is probably slightly questionable. I think the best horse in the race could be Max Flamingo, but he doesn't have the fitness that the other horses have. And the best recent form is definitely Tree Meadows, Galway play run. I think that could be too good for Authorized Art and Ramblin' Jack, but Max Flamingo is the one to keep an eye on. He could be heading from Sunday to maybe Limerick's Munster National, so keep an eye on him.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on him. But Ashtree Meadow for today or for Sunday, but keep an eye on Max Fleeringo for with a view to the future. There is a debutante for Willie in the bumper, a filly called Cool Cherry. She's by Mahler out of Cherry Black. She carries the Blue Blood Racing colour. Seen a few of these. Jodie rides, Jodie Townend, that is. What do you know of her so far?
Keeps going. She's by Mahler. She stays well. Not the flashiest at home, but she does keep going well, Patrick. I don't know, is he suspended? Probably in Longchamp, no, Patrick. So I'd imagine that's where he is for the weekend. Maybe on, he's Patrick. In Killarney, is he? He could be in Killarney. He could be being a bit harsh on him.
It could be. Yeah. I did see him at the Paddy Power Comedy Festival that was on in town. Yeah, he gets around as Patrick, come on.
He does indeed. I'm just having a quick flick here at Downpatrick. No, there's no bumper in Downpatrick.
All right,
it's a handicap chase last in the Downpatrick card. So,
Anyway, Jodie Townend writes, and sure, look, as we know, she's a better striker than Patrick recently, anyway. So, but that's generally when Patrick is in the same race. So that's Tipperary covered as far as jumps racing is concerned. We will bring Rory back in as well, looking ahead to what is going to be a brilliant card at Paris Longchamp on Sunday. It features obviously the big race itself, the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe, which is due off at 3:05, kicks off with the 1:50. Before we look ahead to that, we'll take the very quickest of breaks. Back with looking ahead to Longchamp. By the way, 5 places in the ARC. That's an incredible value. 5 places in the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe instead of the usual 3. Quick break. We'll be back shortly.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, we're back, and Rory DeLarge is back with us as we look ahead to a wonderful card at Longchamp. We start with the Jean-Luc Lagardère. That's the Group 1. These are pretty much all Group 1s, by the way, folks. Group 1 for 2-year-olds, and we have good Irish representation. Chartash is there for Johnny Murtagh and Ben Cohen. The Antarctic, who has been, my word, a busy 2-year-old, steps up and trip. Pivotal Trigger for Jessica Harrington is also in there. They're the 3 Irish that I can see. Okay, straight to you, Rory, for the Jean-Luc Lagardère.
I suppose the question with the Antarctic is whether this comes too soon after his good second in the Middle Park. And his record obviously would look an awful lot better if he wasn't running into Blackbeard every time he runs. Been a winner of a Group 3 at Deauville in August, but second in the Papin to Blackbeard, third behind Blackbeard and Persian Force in the morning, and then... at least as good as ever, possibly improving a bit when second again. Now, he's not quite as speedy as Blackbeard, and he might stay 7 furlongs, but he hasn't tried it yet, and that's a little bit of a question for me. So I'm neutral in him at a shortish price. I thought Bray Sky would take a bit of beating here. He's only been beaten once. So that was when he was just touched off by Tigray in the Prix La Rochette, which is a traditional trial for this. I thought he battled back. I thought he actually won the race looking at it first time around, and he's just got done on the nod. But he responded really well to pressure. That was his first run since July as well, and I thought you can make an argument that it was slightly needed as well. But I liked his attitude. His runs have been on good ground so far. I think he'll handle a bit of dig. We don't know exactly how soft the ground's going to get at Longchamp. It's probably not going to get quite as bad as people have been talking about, because everyone's been talking about the rain all week as if it's going to be washed away. I think it's going to be soft, but I don't think it's going to be as bad as it was last year, for example.
Yeah.
But I thought Brace Guy looked a reasonable price on what he's done, and I think he will step forward again. Stall 4 is a good place to come from here as well, so I prefer him to the Antarctic.
The Botties to claim the Group 1, the first one on the card. Ruby Walsh, right, what have we got for you in the pre-Jean-Luc Lagardère?
I was going to side with Johnny Murtagh. Ben Cohen, Jäger Can colours. I thought Chartash ran really well in the National Stakes on his last start behind Al Rifa. That was his first try at 7 furlongs. He handled the ground. I know he's not the biggest horse in the world, as in scope-wise, how much is he going to improve into his 3-year-old career? But I think they have more confidence in him getting 7 furlongs now. I think they might ride him slightly different, and I thought Chartash had a big chance.
Lovely. Okay, could be a good start for the Irish Raiders on the first race on Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe Day. Right, move on to the Phillies version, the Prix Marcel Boussac, due off at 1:50. Big-ish field, 12 horses declared for it. As ever, I'm just basically Anglo-Irishing this preview. I'm looking at the Irish and the English horses. Rafe Beckett's got Dandy Elise in the race. Aiden's got Never Ending Story. If Never Ending Story wins, the hype machine regarding Tahira will go overboard, by the way. Jim Bulger's got Gone Charan. You've also got Fozzie Stacks, Aspen Grove. Right, I got back to you, Ruby, for this one. This the Phillies version. I mean, Never Ending Story. She was 8 lengths behind Tahira. Shouldn't be good enough to win a Premier Selbusac.
You wouldn't have thought so. And Meditate got turned over by Lazoo in Newmarket since. So that's the Chiefly Park. That's the current form. I suppose the interesting one, if you take her form literally, is Aspen Grove. Huge 66-1 winner at the Curragh in a Group 3 over a mile. She's obviously coming back down a little in trip, but Jamie Spencer rides her. So Fozzie said it wasn't a surprise. So we'll see if he was telling the truth or not.
Amazing. Like, she'd beaten Miles and two maidens. They stick her in a Group 3 and she wins a 66-1. I mean, it's an easy game this, Rory.
I'm slightly put off by the draw, but I think the best filly in this race is Wed, who ran away with a little race at Dax 2 starts ago. She's had 4 starts. She's won 3 of them, but she's improved chunks with every run. And she was a very impressive winner of the Prix de Calvados at Deauville last time out, stepping up to Group 2 company. Now, not many punters will be particularly well aware of Maurizio Garnieri, but he's got a decent filly in the shape of Wed. And if she was drawn in anywhere other than 12, I think she should be quite a short price favourite. Still, 12 of 12 might prove tricky. I think she'll need to be dropped out. But in fairness, she's come from the back in most of her runs to date, so that's what she'll want to do. And the question is whether Christian DeMuro, has to give up too much ground from his draw in the early stages. But she will be finishing best of all. And I think she might prove a little bit of value. The other one, are the prices available for this yet or not? I mean, we've only just had the draw come through, so we may not have.
Keep talking and I'll look.
I take it back. I've found some prices,
are relevant.
Are relevant. So where's a 7-2 shot?
Lovely, thanks. You're doing my job, flying.
I was going to say Habana might be a little bit of value, but Habana's 8-1. That might be a little bit bigger for Andreas Vohler. It's got a good draw on stall 3. It'll handle the ground as well. But 8-1's about right for that, rather than massive value. Yeah, but if Wed can overcome her draw, then in terms of class, I think she's got a massive chance in this race.
All right, for Maurizio Guarnieri, I'm going to assume he's Italian, but my assumption would be, but he might be Italian operating in France.
He's operating in France, yes.
Yeah, very good. Okay, Wed for Rory, keep an eye out for Ruby. It was long. Aspen Grove, yes, lovely. Okay, let's move on to the big one. It's the 305. They have an Arabian Bred World Cup race, lads. I'll let you off. I'll let you off. You don't need to give us the winner of that one. We'll go for the Arc. We're going 5 places. My God, I can't remember this ever happened before. 5 places, the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. Luxembourg is the starting point. He might be the finishing point too. Ruby, we did a preview of the Irish Champions Stakes. I put it to you before racing that the 304 is not really up to much this year, is it? And you said Vedeni's done all right, PK, and I fancy Luxembourg. And well, there you go, he did it.
Yeah, and he was very good. It was a wonderful training performance. He looks like the step up and trip will suit Luxembourg. There's no reason to think why it won't. He's a tough horse. He keeps going really well. Is there any value in him? No, there's not any value in Luxembourg at his price. I think he's better than Alpinista. Torquato Tasso, I don't know if it's going to be enough rain for him. And I'm afraid title holder, he's obviously well fancied in Japan, but not for me. Vedeni didn't scream to me like he wants to be going up in trip. And I actually thought, looking at the Prix de Jockey Club, Al Hakim was interesting. I thought at 25-1, outside the fancy ones, he was in each way poke.
Yes, he's a very nice price. Al Hakim 14-1. Jean-Claude Roger, not averse to getting something in the places at a nice price too. Rory?
I wasn't keen on Luxembourg for this in the first place. But the closer we get to the race, the more I think, oh, this he might just be the horse to win this. But as Ruby says, he's well found in the market. Aidan O'Brien doesn't have a great arc record, but again, With Aidan's best horses, the Ark has always been a little bit of a an afterthought, whereas Luxembourg has had to be trained almost specifically for the Ark because of the injury he picked up in the spring. So that might be a blessing in disguise for him. He should step forward from the Leopardstown run. That's very solid form. And on pedigree, he will stay a mile and a half. So, I think he probably deserves to be favourite for the race. But people can find their own favourites, really, can't they? I've backed a couple in this race, anti-post. So I want to cover those because if there's any pictures of me celebrating when some outsider wins that I haven't mentioned in the pod, I'll have to answer for it. I've backed Duduce, the Japanese Derby winner, on the basis that Japanese Derby winners are good horses for the Ark, and he's got a good draw in stall three. The question with him is whether he'll handle the ground, and he was beaten in the pre-Niel on Good to Soft in his prep. I thought he needed that quite badly, and I thought he shaped much, much better than the bare result. It's easy to say, oh, he clearly didn't handle the ground, but he actually shaped like a horse who'd been off since May and needed the run. He travelled really well into it, having been held up. He quickened well to get on the heels of the leaders with a furlong to go, and then clearly got very tired from that point. Now, maybe the ground didn't help that, and most of his form in Japan, by definition, is on good and good to firm ground. But I certainly wouldn't be ruling him out, and I'm glad he's got stall three. The other one I backed anti-post was Mar Astralis, but he has been given stall 19, and I wouldn't be backing him now. On that basis, I backed him at 40-1. I thought he was overpriced at that, given some of his form. But
Who rides him, Rory? Who rides him?
But Borzan Murzabayev.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Fair play. That's good effort.
He's the finest jockey to come out of his homeland, without the shadow of a doubt. But 19's massively off-putting for that. I think he would have needed everything to drop right anyway. But I still think Duduce is overpriced. Despite a question mark about the ground, you're still getting, I can't see prices now. But he was 25. Bigger through the week, so I think that's a fair price for him. But if you're looking for the horse that I think is really, really solid, I haven't backed him because there was talk about him going for the Champion Stakes, and I've missed the boat a little bit. I think Onesto is really solid here. Mm. Stall 11 will be fine for him. Again, he'll be coming from well back in the field. He always does. But it was interesting in the Irish Champion Stakes that he was able to make a move early in the race to improve his position. And he's clearly the kind of horse that you can do what you want with in a race. He doesn't need to be held up until the last moment. He ran probably a career best in finishing second in the Irish Champion to Luxembourg. I had a good bet on him that day. I thought he was massively overpriced. But he will definitely benefit from stepping back up to a mile and a half because he relished a mile and a half when he won the Grand Prix de Paris. And it's well worth looking at. I mean, the Grand Prix de Paris is, to a lot of people, the de facto French derby these days because it's run over a mile and a half and it tends to be a very strong contest. He's beaten Sim Camille, who won one of the trials for this, El Bodigon, who was runner-up in the Prix de Jockey Club, and Eldar Eldarov. That form has worked out really well. And Onesto looked to really relish the step up to a mile and a half that day. So stepping back up from the Irish Champion to a mile and a half again, I think he's got really, really solid credentials. And if I was approaching the race fresh now, he's definitely the horse I'd want to be backing.
Lovely. Okay. Onesto for Rory. He's obviously mentioned he's back though, Juicy Tway. And Ruby, it was a while ago, but you put up.
Looks, I think Luxembourg will win, but the E-Trail value I thought was Al-Hakim.
Al-Hakim, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Right, it's a strange one, but on Ark Day, they have a rake of Group 1s after the big races. Might be grain related. Basically, they don't want to ruin the grain for the Ark, and that's why they have loads of Group 1s afterwards. And we have one of those in the Prix de l'Opera Joffre at 3.50, which is 45 minutes after the Ark. Nashua is a 2-1 favorite. We know she likes it in France. Above the Curve, what a star she's been for Joseph O'Brien at 3-1. La Parisienne, a lot of people fancied her, including Frank Hickey, for the Ark. She didn't get in. She's 100-30 here. 8-1 Tuesday. Ryan Moore rides Tuesday instead of Above the Curve. William Buick rides Above the Curve. Sorry, I say instead of. My assumption, Ruby, and this is assumption, is that Ryan Moore rides Coolmore's number one, not necessarily Aidan O'Brien's number one. Is that, or am I overthinking it?
I would have kind of thought the same, but I'd say possibly Aidan O'Brien has flexed his muscles here and said, Aidan, Ryan is riding mine. Sorry, Joseph, I am the daddy. Move on.
It'd be nice to be at that breakfast table, wouldn't it? Well, look, they've got William Buick. He's not too bad, is he, on above the curve. Any thoughts on the Prix de l'Opera?
Any thoughts of Prix de l'Opera? I thought above the curve would win. Huge big filly by Justify. Thought she was tough at the Curra. I think going up in triple suitor. Yeah, I was really for her.
I think she's a particularly hard horse to get fit. Yeah, the size of her, she's massive. Rory?
I think above the curve is probably the one to beat in the race now. I was very keen on Le Parisien turning the tables on Nashua from the Prix de Dijon because she was badly drawn that day. And she really caught the eye a long shot last night, meeting trouble in the Vermeer and then storming home. And it was after that run that plenty of people were latching onto her for the, you know, improving three-year-old filly who was going to hit her best form in the autumn. And I'd have been all over for this. But she's drawn stall 15.
Oh.
And Nash was drawn stall 13. So that's a big negative for the pair of them. And it very much plays into the hands of Above the Curve. He's got an ideal draw in stall 5.
Okay. Above the Curve. Now, I'm actually looking at the racing post here, and I see Ryan Moore on Above the Curve and Wayne Lord on Tuesday.
I thought she was too, but I assumed you had looked somewhere else, so I didn't really want to correct you, but that's what I noticed earlier as well.
I'll tell you what, it's I'm looking at the racing post, and I'm looking at Paddy Power, and racing post is Ryan Moore on Above the Curve.
When you sent me the link to France Gallo earlier on,
yep.
Ryan Moore was on Above the Curve, and Wayne Lorden was on Tuesday. So I would have taken the France Gallo over the racing post every day of the week.
Or Patrick Kennelly. Definitely go France Gallo. So it does appear as Ryan Moore is on Above the Curve. So I did hear William Buick is supposed to ride. Anyway, check the race post or whatever it is, and one of them will be riding anyway. So Above the Curve, very much the one to be. The Prix de l'Abbé has a really interesting feel to it this year because we've got a two-year-old. We love the two-year-olds in these open sprints, and that two-year-old is the Platinum Queen. She's already, of course, running the Nunthorpe 11-4, 6-1 for a French horse in the l'Abbé. What the hell's going on here, folks? 6-1 for Bernay. Coeur de Pierre, another French horse at 7-1. They never win this race. 9-1 in Case of You, last year's winner, has been out of form this year. Mitbahi is also 9-1, 11-1. Therese Mendoza and 16th bar. All right, Rory, the Prix de l'Abbé. I don't know why there's two French horses on top of the betting. They can't win.
Well, yes, indeed. They never seem to. But there have been. They won it 2 years ago, but in fairness, most of the domestic challenge fell by the wayside that year. Otherwise, it's been a clean sweep for Britain and Ireland for quite a while. I'm not mad keen on the setup of the race. The Platinum Queen deserves plenty of respect. She ran a stormer in the Nunthorpe that looks even better now. And I suppose you could say that the fact that she was beaten in the Flying Childers by Trillium, it doesn't look so good now with Trillium flopping next time, but the race came soon enough for Trillium, I think. The interesting thing from Connection said the reason the Platinum Queen was beaten at Doncaster because it was 5 furlongs and 3 yards, and she would have won had it been a proper 5 furlong race, she would have won. Well, she's in luck here because this is 4 furlongs and 214 yards, so it's six yards short of 5 furlongs, and that must give her a massive chance of bouncing out and making. All. She's quite well drawn in stall 7. I think she has to go close there. One I'll throw in at a big price. What price have you got prices?
I have.
Mochalita. What price is Mochalita?
Let me scroll down. Scrolling. I'm still scrolling. 40-1.
40, yeah. You'd need to be getting that kind of price about Mochalita, but she has bounced back to form in her last couple of starts, and she is very well drawn in stall. What is she, stall 2 or stall 3? Stall 3. And she's got Jason Hart on her back, which is a big positive for me. Jason Hart's one of the most underrated jockeys around, as we've seen with how he's done on Highfield Princess and others lately. She was a good fourth over 5.5 at Ayr last time out in that listed Scottish sprint behind Gilforce Mayer. She will appreciate returning to 5 furlongs. If Monachan wins at Ascot on Saturday, that will be a boost to her chances because she was second to him at Doncaster. I think she wants a sharp test at 5 furlongs, which she'll get here, and she does handle given the ground. So I can see her running much better than her odds would suggest, but I think the Platinum Queen is the likeliest winner.
No, it's not 5 furlongs. It's 4 furlongs.
4 furlongs, 216, 214
you.
Yards. Yes.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Ruby, loads of Irish and English contenders here. We've had a few favourites. Munisa did us a favour each way. Previously at Ascot, where are you thinking?
Teresa Mendoza each way. I think installed 5 is a help too. She's 2 inside the Platinum Queen or into the low numbers anyway. You want to be low. Mo Salita is lower than Teresa Mendoza. So, yeah, possibly Teresa Mendoza.
And Billy Lee, of course, going for the Irish champion jockey, but he's got to head to Paris. While Colin Keane might be banging in a few winners, I think, in Ireland. I don't see Colin Keane listed to ride Longchamp this weekend. The Prix de la Forêt is the last of the Group 1s. It's the 7 furlong Group 1. There's not many 7 furlong Group 1s, of course, but this is one of them. And it's going to be due off at 5 o'clock. Kinross is going to make the market at 6-4 for Rafe Beckett and Frankie Dettori. 4-1 Tenebrism for Ian Moore and Brian. Now, she does like it. France run well here. 4-11-2 Fang Sandrine. Is 7-1, 10-1, New Energy, who runs well in these races for Sheila Lavery and 11 Spar. Ruby, the Prix de la Forêt, the last race for us. Give us a winner.
7 furlongs, the ideal trip for Tinny Brazen.
Lovely. Tenebrism.
Was behind Homeless Songs and Saffron Beach in the Matron. I think a mile was too far back down to 7 suits her ideal.
Yeah, she ran a cracker, didn't she, in the Matron. Rory?
Yeah, I would just come down on Tenebrism as well. She's got stall 1, which should be, it's not a big field for this race, but stall 1 should be a help for Tenebrism. And again, the issue with her, she won 7 furlongs. There aren't the races for her. She won the only other Group 1 open to her earlier this season, the Prix Jean Pratt. That's for 3-year-olds only, of course. This is the only 7 furlong Group 1, or 6 furlong, 211-yard Group 1, if you really want to be like that.
Well, you do.
Open to older horses in Europe all season. New Energy could run well at a price as well from stall 3. He was second to Kinross in the Park Stakes at Doncaster last time out, and he'd be a bigger price than Kinross again here. But he's got a nice pitch there. 7 furlongs is probably his ideal trip as well. He didn't really see it out as well as someone that's at James's Palace Stakes, but his form is pretty solid. And it'd be great to see Sheila Lavery with a Group 1 winner in Arc Weekend, wouldn't it?
Madame S. Lavery, indeed. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
The best one I heard on distances, exact yards, was in Galway, the 2 miles, 5 furlongs, 211-yard handicap hurdle on the Saturday with the extra rail movement when the clerk of the course came back in and handed the rail movement to the announcer. He added on the 14 or 15 yards, so he announced it as 2 miles, 5 furlongs, 226 yards, which is actually 2 miles, 6 furlongs, and 6 yards.
Yes, to the uninitiated, 220 yards in a furlong. So yeah, once you go over that, you don't need to add the yards. Yeah, brilliant stuff, lads. That's Longchamp covered, every single yard of it, as far as the group races are concerned. Really enjoyed that look ahead to Arc Day. If I can trouble you for a best bet on the big day itself, or Ruby, if you want to head back to Tipperary for that good card, that's fine. This time, Rory, I'll go with you first.
Yeah, I'll go. I'm aware that I've punted a couple in the Arc already, but we're talking win only at big prices on those. I will stick with Onesto as my best bet of the weekend. I think he's got a cracking chance there.
Oh, lovely. Each way, or you just go all in?
Yeah, well, you're 5 places, are you?
We are,
5 places. Yeah. Each way seems a pleasure. The other two I've backed are win only, by the way. There's no point backing these horses anti-post. Each way at 3 places, a fifth of the odds. There's no upside to that, I can tell you.
When they finish second and third.
Well, you've got to bet according to the mathematics, not according to what you hope will happen.
That is a different podcast all entirely. Ruby, your best bet on Sunday?
I'm lost. above the curve.
Above the curve for William Moore, who rides, or else it's Ryan Buick. It's one or t'other, whoever's riding that horse above the curve in the Prix de l'Opera. She's got a crack chance.
You'll be hoping both of them don't ride her.
I mean, ideally, you want one or t'other, yeah. And one of them will ride her. They're both pretty good, so I don't think it matters. Above the curve in the Prix de l'Opera and Onesto in the Arc. Lads,
I got Rory's leg there. Obviously, if you put the two of them on, she's going to be carrying about 18 stones, so you'd be hoping the two of them don't ride her.
Exactly. Indeed. Exactly. Yeah. Well, look, it's not ideal. So yeah, one of them will and hopefully win. Lads, thanks very much. Brilliant look ahead to a brilliant weekend. We'll be back next week. We'll be back early next week because we've got an excellent card, a doubleheader from Newmarket. So watch out for a couple of pods landing on Thursday regarding the Future Champions Day weekend at Newmarket. But until then, and Fridays with Fran, till then, have a great weekend. Back to the winners, and we'll talk to you next week.